You are listening to Podski Wee Wee, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Mazzoli back to the end zone. Tasker touchdown. Run it. They are going to throw for it. Only looking that way.
Welcome to Podski Wee Wee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham.
Happy free agency, Mike. The start of the free agent frenzy is almost here. How excited are you?
I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of big names out there, a lot of talented guys to grab for many teams. So it's always exciting part of the offseason when free agency hits.
And it's the next stop on the road to the start of the season. It always feels like Grey Cup happens. And I feel like we say this every year. I think every year we've done the show, this is our fourth season now doing it, which is insane to think about. It feels like just yesterday that you and I sat down to do episode one, and now we're on episode 101. Holy smokes. And also, short aside, thanks to everyone for their congratulations on hitting episode 100 last week. Very much appreciated. And I always speak for Mike and myself in saying we wouldn't be here without people listening to the show. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Thanks for all the congratulations. But let's move on to what we're actually here to discuss. It's just, it's crazy. You said it. Like, lots of players left unsigned. There's going to be some teams that are going to be remade over the course of the next few days and weeks. We're going to see guys go places that we weren't expecting. We're going to see guys re-sign. We saw a ton of re-signings today on Monday. Ticats did a big one, obviously, we're going to talk about in a couple of minutes. But it's just kind of an exciting – we're just seeing the start of the season. It's like almost here, and that just kind of gets the blood pumping a little bit extra, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it seems that every year there's just more and more free agents because of the one-year contracts that are going around in the CFL recently. So, yeah, it's, you know, after this is done, then the next thing comes. And then before you know it, we'll be playing football, watching the Ticats win some games.
Yeah, win some games. Hopefully. So we do have a lot to run down today. So let's kick things off by talking about some Ticats transactions from the last week since we last talked. The team signed 7 players over the last 7 days, but I'm sure as you heard in the opening theme, it should be pretty clear who the big one was that put his name on the dotted line. Number 17 is back for another go around with our Tiger Cats. Team announced on Monday morning that they have reached a new 2-year deal with Luke Tasker. Mike, how happy are you right now?
I'm very happy. I've stated many times that Tasker is one of my favorite players on the Ticats right now, if not my favorite player. He's just a really talented guy. The effort is always there. He's always, you know, catches the ball. He fights for extra yards. He doesn't drop anything. He's just a really reliable receiver, and he reminds me of Darren Flutie. You know, the comparison's there. He is just outstanding, and I'm really, really excited that he's back in this receiving corps because he adds a lot to this offense.
I just look at this receiving group here, and maybe I'm a homer, maybe it's bias, but man, oh man, Terrence Tolliver, Brandon Banks, Luke Tasker, Jalen Saunders, Shamad Chambers, possibly Andy Fantuz. That's as dangerous a group of receivers as you're going to see on any team of this league. Am I wrong about that, or do you not hear those names and just kind of drool a little?
I think there's a nice balance in there. You got Speedy B. Obviously, he's fast, hence the name Speedy B. Saunders also has a lot of speed. Tasker's that reliable guy that can go over the middle, make those big catches. Tolliver has the height. So there's a nice combination in there in our starting receivers, and I love it.
And then you throw in the Canadian guys, and I know you're not the hugest Shamad Chambers fan, but I think we saw that he's a capable guy.
He played well.
He did.
He played well when he came in, really.
Absolutely. And I think we saw more of that. If Andy Fantuz comes back, obviously he's going to be a starter. You're just going to have this eclectic mix of guys that I think you can trust, each and every one of them. And Chambers aside, let's operate on Fantuz coming back. And that's not a given by any stretch of the imagination, but let's operate on that. That's 5 guys who have posted 1,000-yard receiving seasons in the CFL. I'm not sure if any other offense in the league would have that. Now, I'm not saying all of them are going to go for 1,000 yards next season, but I'm saying at one point in their career, these guys have all shown the ability to be that somewhat go-to guy. And with Chambers, and like you mentioned, how well he played with the Ticats last year, this could be a really dangerous group that could – it'll be like a pick-your-poison receiving core. And I've said this about receiving cores in the past, and I've been wrong, but this one, the talent is there. The results from past seasons is there. This could be a dangerous, dangerous offense. And I got to think Jeremiah Mazzoli is sitting there watching all these moves and just rubbing his hands together. Can't wait for the season to get started.
Yeah, you'd think that. And I'm just excited about the offense next season. I think June Jones is going to do a lot of work this offseason and make some schemes to come together. I think this offense is going to be fast, 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 go, 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 and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, it feels like, and I know we've said this before, that this is – there's optimism with this team, and you're seeing guys come back. You mentioned it before we started recording, Mike, that you look at the guys – that the Ticats still have left to bring back. There's not a lot of big names. There's a couple of really big names of guys that we would like to see return to the black and gold. But you look at the team and it's a lot of depth players. And I'm not saying depth players aren't important, but when you sign a guy like Luke Tasker, when you get Brandon Banks back, when you get Tony Washington back in the fold and Jeremiah Mazzoli, you've got the star players, the guys that sort of held it down last year and were a major part of the team turning around in the second half of the season. And these guys are all going to be together come the start of camp, come the beginning of the season. It really feels like this could be a year, and I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves, that the team might be able to start off a little fast. And Tasker brought it up at his when he met with the media in Hamilton on Monday, that everyone being together, we're not going to be, and these are kind of his words, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but the Ticats aren't going to be clawing from the back to try to get into the playoffs. They're going to be at the top at the start of the season, holding on to a playoff spot. And that's not something we've seen around here a whole heck of a lot. And I'd be pretty excited to see this team get off to a good start.
Yeah, it's always been, well, for the last 10 years, it seems, we've been getting off to a very slow start and we'd have to climb back, win some games, win a lot of games in the second half of the season. And I'm sick of that happening. I want this team to get off to a good start so we don't have to worry so much about game 15, game 16, game 17 to make it into the playoffs. So I hope you're right, man. I hope they can carry over the momentum that they started at the end of the season and bring it into next season.
So Tasker wasn't the only player that signed a contract with the Ticats in the last week. The team did ink 6 other players over the last 7 days, and I don't think you'd call any of them household names, but that doesn't mean that they might not be come midseason. Last offseason, you and I wouldn't have sat here and raved about the team bringing in Jalen Saunders or Richard Leonard or Devon Coleman, but they all played critical roles for the team over the course of last season and are 3 players that I think we're pretty excited to see again in 2018, right?
Yeah, I mean, these guys performed tremendously in their rookie season and they're all coming back. So I expect them to be even greater than they were last year with a year of professional football under their belt.
Yeah, and they were guys who we weren't talking about, like, oh my God, they got Jalen Saunders, and
no.
He had a pedigree. He came from Oklahoma. Richard Leonard, like,
right.
We probably did the same thing we're doing with these guys we're going to talk about here. We gave a quick synopsis of their career and said, hey, maybe they'll turn into something. And we used a guy like Delvin Bro as our example, as we've often done, a guy who came out of nowhere and became a star in the CFL, and now he's obviously playing his trade in the NFL. But some of these guys that we're going to mention in a couple of seconds, we don't really know a lot about them now. We might know a lot about them in July and August.
Yeah, you never really know, unless you're a very avid college football watcher. Like, I watch college football, but I don't really know a lot of the players. I watch teams, basically, and, you know, I don't get into player-by-player basis unless they're huge stars. And if they're huge stars, they usually not come into the CFL. So every year, it's the same thing. Players come in, you never really heard of them. And then all of a sudden, they're huge stars in the CFL. And I expect that to happen again this year.
So let's talk about these 6 guys. First off, we have national linebacker Curtis Newton. He played 5 games with the Ticats last year after being released by the Argos in July. He was then released by the Ticats in October and was signed to the practice roster by the Argos, where he spent the rest of last season. So I guess he's got himself a Grey Cup ring, so not so bad. We have a pair of international defensive backs, one Joel Ross, He went to training camp with the Calgary Stampeders last year, and he bounced around the NFL for a couple of years after having a pretty darn good college career at Appalachian State, at least from the numbers that I saw. Next up is another international defensive back, Frankie Williams. He played at Purdue, Big Ten school, pretty big school. He played three games with the Indianapolis Colts in 2016 after going undrafted in the 2016 draft. Probably the most well-known out of all these guys, and a guy I think we're probably going to spend a little bit of time talking about, and maybe what his signing means for the team, is quarterback Bryant Moniz. He is a three-year vet, played with the Stampeders and the Riders, mostly in short yardage situations, but he was a member of the 2014 Grey Cup champion Calgary Stampeders, and he is a University of Hawaii alum, so there's that Hawaii connection with June Jones. Even though they weren't there at the same time, obviously Jones keeps... You're a Hawaii guy. You're kind of a Hawaii guy for life, as we've seen with Jeff Reinbold, especially on Twitter. The last two are a pair of international offensive linemen, Casey Blazer, who spent a couple of weeks on Ticats PR last fall, and Will Freeman, who spent last year out of football after getting cut in training camp by the Falcons. And he is a converted defensive lineman from his senior season at Southern Miss. So he has that versatility that we know Ken Austin likes in players to come here. So, again, not household names by any stretch of the imagination, but Moniz is interesting because it's another quarterback the Ticats have brought in, and that means a certain someone who, for a second week, we're not going to talk about, but maybe the team is kind of playing the long game with that guy. And now, you look, they got three quarterbacks on the roster in Mazzoli, Vernon Adams, and now Moniz, who all have CFL experience. The team went into the season with those three guys. I wouldn't be too upset. What about you?
No, it's interesting that all three of those quarterbacks are kind of similar. They're dual threat. They can run, they can pass. So that's what June Jones likes, apparently. So we have three of those players. And, you know, it's interesting, the person that we shall not mention did an interview, and he said he had a guaranteed contract on the table, which is, I don't know. But we won't talk about that. But I think I haven't got a chance to watch Moniz, or however you pronounce his name, that much. But he did get in a little bit with Calgary, not a ton, but I guess there's some potential there, and June Jones must be high on him if he wants to bring him in. So, you know, good luck to all three of them.
Yeah, good luck to all these guys, and maybe we'll be, you know, singing their praises come mid-season when one of these guys is a standout. But we don't know, but we felt like we should give them some time, and we did. So let's move on to what is – I'm not really sure what to say about this, honestly, Mike. This one – kind of took me by surprise. The Ticats have hired Jerry Glanville in sort of an unspecified coaching role on the defensive side of the ball. Now, nothing is official. The team has not made an official announcement about this. This was obviously broken on Three Down Nation by Justin Dunk. So pretty much this is going to happen. Fans of a certain age will certainly remember Jerry Glanville. His resume includes head coaching stints with the Houston Oilers from 1985 to 1989 and the Atlanta Falcons from 1990 to 1993. He was out of football from the time he left the Falcons until June Jones hired him as a defensive coordinator at the University of Hawaii in 2005. There's your connection to the Ticats. Another interesting connection with Jones is that it was June Jones who took over for Jerry Glanville as the Atlanta Falcons head coach in 1994. I've seen a lot of people online really kind of take this hiring to task. They talk about Glanville's age. He's 76 years old. His lack of experience in the CFL. Glanville hasn't even coached at all since 2009 when he was the head coach at Portland State. I don't really know what to make of this hiring, but I feel like there's a lot of negative talk about it. But to me, it's like if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's not really that big a deal. What do you think, Mike?
I think the exact same thing. They're bringing him in. He's a defensive consultant or something like that. You know, he's not going to be the defensive coordinator. He's not going to have a major coaching job on this team unless something really bad happens and he replaces someone. But I don't see that happening. Listen, if he comes in and he helps out the team, I'm all for it. June Jones obviously has a lot of confidence in him, and we'll just see how it works out. But all the venom and the hatred that's going on online about this hire is like really unnecessary, in my opinion. It's just he knows a guy. He's bringing him in. He's going to try and help the team, and that's it. So it's not a huge deal that some of the fans are making it out to be.
Well, and Glanville came up here last year for training camp, and I don't think he did a guest coaching thing, but I know that Glanville and Jeff Reinbold were close. Again, Hawaii ties, they seem to go pretty deep. So I know Glanville's up here for a day or two at training camp last year, just kind of taking everything in. So you know, maybe he wants to get off the couch and get a little coaching in, and he wants to do something. And I don't know. I feel like because Glanville's kind of a weird dude, I don't know if you're old enough to remember when he was a coach in the NFL. I remember him. I remember him slightly with the Oilers, but I really remember him when he was the head coach of the Falcons, mostly because the Falcons were in the NFC West at the time, playing a lot of games against my favorite NFL team, the San Francisco 49ers. But yeah, he's a bit of a weird dude. I mentioned to you before we started that he always leaves two tickets at the will call office for Elvis because he believes that Elvis is still alive. So, like, he's got a bit of a weird personality. I think that's what kind of it makes people look at it and go, oh, you're bringing this guy in? Like, he's kind of a nut bar. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's that sort of people are going to, and not just like, hey, who knows? Maybe this guy – when June Jones got hired last year, everyone kind of was like, really, June Jones? What the heck does he know about the CFL? Turned out to be a pretty darn good hire. So maybe this will work out in a similar fashion. Hopefully Gary Glanville doesn't become the head coach, because that just means that June Jones didn't do very well this year. But I don't know. I'm not overly optimistic or overly pessimistic. I'm just kind of like, okay, yeah, well, let's see where it goes.
Exactly. I'm just kind of meh over the whole situation. You know, if he helps with the team, great. If it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But you're right. You know, June Jones is a little bit of a outside the box kind of guy, and I assume his friends are as well. So that's partially why he's probably coming in.
What I do hope, however, is that when this hiring is made official, that we will get word on the full coaching staff, because unless I missed it, we still don't know who any of the coordinators or positional coaches are going to be for the Ticats this season. And I think we have our assumptions of who they're going to be, offensive, defense, special teams, and all that. I just would really like, maybe they just haven't announced Glanville's hiring because they're going to announce the entire coaching staff hirings all at once. And I would really look forward to that information, because it feels like it's awfully late for us to not really have that. We know there's going to be a new OC because Steph Potasik has left the team to become the OC at UBC. So I'd really like some word from the team, and I'm hoping maybe this Glanville thing will be sort of the they're getting the entire staff in order before they announced all at once. You know what I mean?
You think June Jones is going to be the OC? He's going to be calling the play?
I could see it. What was the name of that? They brought a coach in. Dan Morrison, I think, was his name late last season. He was like, he was an offensive consultant, and he was like a QB coach. And they brought him in, and him and Jones had worked together at SMU. I could see him being the OC, but I could see Jones calling plays. I'm not sure what the – I know we've heard various reports of it was Jones calling the plays, but he would relay them to Steph Potasik, who would get them in the terminology that the players would know from what they did before, or who would get those concepts into Canadians. I'm not sure how it worked, so I wouldn't be surprised if June Jones called the play, but I still do think that we're going to see someone hired in the role of offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and I hope we bring back Philip Lawley we had last year for our defensive coordinator, because – when he came in after Reinbold got canned, he did a tremendous job. Now, I know it wasn't all him. The players obviously had something to do with that, but to have him back would be a big signing, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. I think he deserves to come back for another season if he wants to, but we'll have to wait and see. Okay, so next up is a retirement. Dan Lefever, who hasn't been with the Ticats for a while, but I felt like deserved sort of a little bit of sunshine cast his way. He did play with the Cats for three seasons between 2012 and 2014, and he just announced his retirement at 30 years of age. I'm going to admit right here, right now, and I think I've admitted this in the past, I'm a big Dan Lefever fan. I think if he ever had been given a legitimate shot, he could have been a very capable starting quarterback in the CFL. I know his arm wasn't the strongest, but man, did he just have a knack for making plays. And he had a few memorable moments during his Ticats tenure, and I have a few favorite Dan Lefever moments with Hamilton. But Mike, do you have any, were you a Dan Lefever fan first and foremost, and then do you have any sort of standout moments that you remember from his time as a Ticat?
I like Dan. I didn't really like, I'm not a huge fan of a two quarterback system, which was what they were doing with him and Burris at the time, way back in the day. But one of my, you know, this is an obvious one, but one of my favorite memories was, I believe it was the East semifinal in Guelph, and he scored the winning touchdown on a option play, I believe. That stands out to me as my favorite Dan Lefever moment.
Yeah, that's obviously the top one for me as well. I was at that game in Guelph. God damn it, was it ever cold. But he played a role on the drive that took the lead for the Ticats late in the game. And then, of course, he had the rushing TD in overtime that sent the Hamilton Ticats to Toronto for the East Final. And it was just so like, oh, my God, the Ticats won a playoff game. Oh, my God, they're going to Toronto for the East Final. Oh, my God, I can go to that. Like, it was just – it was such a feel-good moment after the year before. They were out. They didn't make the playoffs with George Cortez. They bring in Ken Austin. Everything's in upheaval because they're playing in Guelph. And it just – it was such a feel-good moment. His teammates, if I'm not mistaken, carried Lefevre off the field on their shoulders. Like, it was just – man, it was –
I wonder what Burris thought of that, eh?
Yeah, oh, I can only wonder what was going through his mind at that time. But, man, that yeah, that's obviously number one. But I do remember, if you remember the following year, he got a few starts because Zach Collaros got hurt in week two. And he went on a run there where he had some great games. I got the numbers here. I went to look them up. Obviously, his big one was his, the start against the Ottawa Red Blacks. He went 21 of 30 for 361 yards. He had 13 carries for 109 yards and two total touchdowns. Then in the game against BC, in BC, he went 23 of 34 for 298 yards and 103 on the ground with a touchdown. And then in the game that kind of ended his tenure with Hamilton and maybe was the kind of the turning point of his whole career, he tore his ACL against Calgary. But before that, 21 of 30 for 282 and two touchdowns. It really looked like he was going to be given an opportunity to show that he could be a starting quarterback in this league. It never ended up happening. Injuries kind of derailed him. He bounced around, went to Montreal, then I think to Toronto, and then he spent the last year in Winnipeg. And I don't know, I always liked the way he played the game. I remember him playing at Central Michigan years before when he was in college. I really liked the way he played. I thought if he was ever given a chance, he could have been a great player. But he did give us a few memories, and I want to thank Dan Lefevre for a great career. And hopefully he finds something good to do in retirement, because I'm going to miss him. I know that much.
Yeah, best of luck to him. He, you know, every time he got a chance, he came in and he produced. Even in when he was with Toronto recently, you know, he had a couple of pretty good games. So
he had a big one against the Ticats, if I'm not mistaken. After the,
right.
I want to say it was Labor Day in 2016. The Cats won that classic Labor Day game. Yeah, it was 2016. That was when Chad Owens was with the Ticats. So they had that great – the Ticats, the Argos went out to a big lead. Ticats made the big comeback. And then I think they played the Argos the following week. I think it was the following Sunday in Toronto. Lefevre got the start because Ray got hurt and lit up the Ticats. Like, had a great game. Like, he's played at a high level in this league, and it's just a damn shame he never got the chance to do it on a consistent basis.
The I think the injuries really – were the downfall. I mean, he tore his ACL, and then I believe when he was with Montreal, his first play in, he got a really bad concussion, and then he signed with the Bucks, which I came out of nowhere, and I was like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, best of luck to him, and I hope he has a great future out of football.
Wasn't he also part of that, like, Major League Football League, you know, major
UFL?
No, not the UFL. It was the other one where they did like a draft of like eight players. Oh my God, I gotta look it up. I can't remember what it was called. I want to say Major Football League or something. It's like the I'm gonna find it. I swear I'm gonna find it. And it was like,
did Brooklyn have a team?
I don't know if anyone had a team.
Like, I don't think never got off the ground.
Major League Football. It was founded in 2014. It had eight teams, but I don't know if they ever played a game. Like, I still don't think they have. And there was like, they drafted. I remember they had a draft. Dan Lefevre went in the draft. That's, and I remember that. And it was like, oh, okay. That's because I think at the time he had been cut by the Bucks or he'd been cut by the CFL, and I guess like it never got off the ground. But I just remember him being and was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, new football league. I'll give it a shot, and then never hearing about it again.
Right. Yeah, it's it seems that those football leagues pop up every couple of years and then just kind of disappear. But I always find it funny when leagues put, you know, Major Football League or Major League Soccer, you know, just because you have major in your name doesn't make you a major sport. But anyways, that's besides the point.
All right, Mike, you ready to talk some free agency?
Yes.
All right, let's start with the Ticats. We're going to play a little... We're going to do our list like we always do. I think we've done this every year. Kind of a list of guys we want the team to bring back, a list of guys we'd like to see them bring in. Obviously, these are not predictions, and obviously we know that of the five guys from each list, they can't sign them all. But these are kind of guys that we think could help the team. So it was really tough, don't you think, kind of doing the five to bring back? We mentioned sort of earlier there's not a ton of guys left, but there's a few superstars left that I think every Ticat fan wants to see back. But getting to that like four and five spot took a little bit of work, didn't it?
It did. It got into some of the depth players that you'd like to see back on special teams. But we got our list, so we can do it.
All right. So do you want to go number to number? We'll start at five, work our way down to one. You'll do, if you're fifth, I'll give mine. We'll kind of talk about it. How does that sound?
That sounds good.
All right, Mike, who's your number five Ticat you want to see them bring back?
I got Nick Shorthill, a local guy, went to McMaster University, a real special teams demon. Like to see him back for sure.
Okay, I have nothing to add to that because my number five is also the same player. Uh-oh, this is dangerous because if we're same at five, I'm worried that four through one might be the same as well, so won't be a lot to talk about here. But, yeah, special teams guy, local product, like everything you said, I think he's a guy that the team would do well to bring back. They made a trade to bring him in last year. I'd hate to see him just play 1 year, injury-shortened year at that, and then to see them lose him. I think he could be a valuable member to special teams. And we know how valuable those special teams guys are. It's guys who know the system are worth bringing back. Okay, number four, who you got?
Got Evan Gill, another depth player, a high draft pick a couple years ago. I think there's just some potential there, and he can, in the meantime, he can be a real player on special teams.
Okay, now we have a different one. I went with CO Prime, the fullback. He's not a guy that his stats, you're going to look at the stats, they don't jump off the page.
Oh, he's a fullback, right? I mean,
he is exactly. Fullbacks rarely get used in modern football, let alone in modern Canadian football, where they were used very sparingly.
They don't even use fullbacks when they know there's like a couple, like when they need a yard. I mean, they go in shotgun.
Your favorite thing, right?
Oh, God.
But yeah, go on.
Durable guy, dependable guy, someone who knows what he's doing, essentially. He's been one of those guys
Why don't you? I mean, the I formation, you know? Line him up. get that big fullback.
All right, I'm regretting bringing up.
Either way, man. Come on. All right, sorry, man.
No, I'm regretting bringing up the fullback now. Evan Gill, I like your pick. My only concern with Gill is he has been injured for almost his entire career. He's a Winnipeg guy. I could see him being like, he's not going to get the opportunity here, going somewhere else. But you know, we're plumbing the depths here for guys. And don't get us wrong, these guys are good football players, but we're not exactly talking about guys who are expecting to be starters on defense or starters on offense. You know, well, I guess Prime would technically be a starter on offense, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe he follows me on Instagram, so good pick.
Who do you have at number three, Mike?
Number three, I have Michael Atkinson. Came into the league. I believe he went to Boise State, Canadian. A lot of potential there. With someone maybe leaving, he could step into a starting spot. So that's why I have him at number three.
All right. So I can tell by you having him there, I know for certain that our top three are the exact same. My number three, however, is Larry Dean. And I love Larry Dean, middle linebacker stud, was all world everything for the Ticats last year. People would think, oh man, Dean should be one or two. The reason I have him below a pair of Canadians is that he is an American. He plays the middle linebacker position, and this team has been able to find guys at middle linebacker. Larry Dean was an unknown before he burst onto the scene a couple years ago. Before that, it was Taylor Reed, who we didn't really know who he was before he kind of had an impact with the Ticats, and now he's gone on to play pretty well for Ottawa. So I feel like the team can find the next guy if they lose Dean, and I think Dean is due for a big pay raise, should get a big pay raise. I want to see him back. We're going to get into some of the big name free agents a little bit later and talk about where we think they're going to land. Spoiler alert, I do think Dean will come back to Hamilton, but just because of the passport and the position he plays, he falls to number three on my list.
Fair enough. Following up with that, I have him at number two, Larry Dean. You know, hell of a season last year, hell of a player, pretty much not much I can add to it. Yeah, I'd love to see him back in Ticat colors.
Yeah, my number two is Michael Atkinson. And for all the things you said, I know he's got roots here. He's expecting a baby with, I believe he's dating and or married to a girl from Hamilton. So I think he wants to be here. My only concern with him is, unfortunately, injuries. I think he missed almost all, if not all, of last season with an injury. But when he played, I just remember, and I keep thinking about it, the interception he had in a game in Ottawa that I was at where he tipped it and dove and caught it. And it was a thing of beauty. Like, I know this guy, if he puts in a full season and is healthy, can be a stud. I just know that it can happen. So I would really, really like to see him come back to the Ticats. And that leaves number one. And there's one name neither of us have mentioned. So yeah. I think we all know who both of our number one is.
Yeah, Big Teddy. Big Ted Laurent. I don't think he's going to be back, just from the reports that I've heard that he's going to test free agency, see what's out there, and you know, I don't see why another team would offer him a boatload of money, because he's one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league and he's a national. So I'd love to have him back, but I don't think he will be back. But fingers crossed, right?
Fingers crossed indeed. I feel the exact same way. We went through this 2 years ago. He was a free agent, tested the waters, and I believe he was out maybe a day and a half, and he came back. I don't think it was the first day. I think it was the second day, and everyone was happy. And then later on, we've heard people scream about, "Oh, Acosta's just a Medlock." Oh, nonsense talk. You have a chance to get a ratio breaking stud defensive tackle. Like, he would be a stud whether he's Canadian or not. Being Canadian is just an added bonus. Like, this guy is a beast, still operating at a high level. I'd love to see him back. I do think that some team in the East out there is going to give him way too much money for him to turn down. And I don't think he's going to return to Hamilton, but I really, really hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Me too.
All right. Now let's go to the fun part. And this is our top five guys to bring in. I have five. I have some honorable mentions. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get those out of the way first. I don't know if you put honorable mentions in as well. I just had so many guys that I wanted to kind of give a little shine to. So I'll do those. Then we'll get into our top five, if that's good with you.
Yep. Go for it, buddy.
All right. So I got three honorable mentions here, two Canadians and an American DB. I got Zach Evans from Ottawa, the defensive lineman. If the Ticats were to somehow lose out on Ted Laurent, I think Zach Evans would be a pretty good replacement. You probably get him for a little bit less money, and I think he can come in and have a really good role on the team. Quinn Van Gilswick, the kicker punter from the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I don't think he's going to be back in Saskatchewan simply because they have Tyler Crapinia, who I think they're very happy with. Van Gilswick was a top kicker coming out of the draft a couple years ago. I think he could. I don't think the Ticats need a kicker necessarily, but bring him in, maybe make the kicker punter a Canadian spot, saves up a designated import for another American to put on special teams, could help with the ratio a little bit that way. And last of my honorable mentions is TJ Heath, the defensive back from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Guy is a ball hawk, would love to see him in this secondary, but he did not crack my top five. So let's get to our top fives. Mike, who do you have at number five?
I have Cleon Lang at number five, a player that is not very liked in some circles, especially where in the city where I live, Edmonton. But, you know, he's grimy, do anything in the trenches kind of player. And I feel like that would be a good fit with the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
All right. All right. I've got Tommy Campbell, defensive back from the Calgary Stampeders. Guy, I don't think Hamilton needs much help in the secondary, but if you can go out and get a guy who's a perennial all-star, one of the best in the game, plug him in at one of those corner spots, it's like I don't have to worry about it anymore. I think he would make an excellent addition to Hamilton's secondary. Who do you got at four, Mike?
Four, I went off the board here. A big name, but I went with Brad Sinopoli. I just like how this guy plays the game. He's been improving year after year after year, and I think he's a top-end Canadian receiver, and I'd like to see him in black and gold. Steal him away from those dirty red blacks.
I also went off the board with this one, but this is not a big name. Went with Darryl Watt, defensive lineman for the Argos. Again, I'm looking at if Teddy leaves, how is this team going to fill him in? Are they going to use multiple guys? You got to get Canadians. Canadians in free agency always attract attention because there are so few of them out there. You need good Canadians. Watt's a local guy, went to McMaster from Hamilton. and he plays for the Dirty Argos. I come on, he wants to come home, right? I think he'd be a great guy, a rotational player with a guy like, say, Justin Vaughn, who the team has. You got Connor McGough, who they drafted last year as well. I think you could get some of these younger Canadian guys in here, form a rotation at tackle and end on the defense, and really make some hay with those guys. So I got Watt at number four. Number three, who are you looking at, Mike?
I have Adam Konar, great young linebacker in Edmonton. Well, he's a free agent now, but, you know, he's a Canadian kid. I think he can really get the job done, and I'd love to see him in black and gold. He's an up-and-comer, and I think he's going to be a big star in this league.
Excellent, excellent choice. I like the Konar pick. I got at number three, Luchez Purifoy, who's kind of a hybrid linebacker defensive back. I know that Chandler Fenner played mostly at Sam linebacker for the Lions last year, but Purifoy can play that position too. I think the Ticats still, like, they played Abdul Kinney there. I think he's got the right temperament to play Sam, but his size is a little lacking for a linebacker. Purifoy's a little bit bigger. I think can play both DB and can play that Sam spot. You could get then kick Kinney back out to the secondary, which I think is more natural for him at one of those defensive halfback spots. I like the versatility he could bring to the defense, so he's a guy that I'm looking at that would be a real nice addition to the black and gold. All right, number two, Mike, where are you going?
Now I got a guy that was in your honorable mentions, TJ Heath. Just for all the reasons you said earlier, complete ball hawk, just makes plays in the defensive secondary every time he's in there. So, TJ Heath, bring him in, get some interceptions for the black and gold.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that one. My number two is John White. Talked a bit about him last week when we did our Ticats question of the week. I'm seeing some rumblings out there that the Ticats may kick the tires on Jerome Messam, and perhaps if they lose out on Ted Laurent, they still...
I don't like that. I don't want Messam. Sorry, but...
Okay.
It's just... Yeah, well, that's not my decision, obviously, but I don't know. I just don't... I think you'd pay a lot for him, and I don't think he will produce at the same level that he might have a couple of years ago. I think he's slowing down a bit.
I kind of feel the same way. I've liked Messam as a player. I've liked him for a long time. He's obviously a great player, but I do 32 years old for a running back. I don't know. There's a lot of tread on that tires for a big bull like him. I'm not entirely sold on him being here either, especially because of what you're going to have to pay a Canadian back of his caliber. You could be getting a guy who's met his last sort of great run. He kind of slowed down last year, Adam. A little bit concerned about where it could head, whereas John White is like 26, I think, still really young. The Ticats have gone with an American running back, C.J. Gable, for all those years. They went with Alex Green last year, and I said it last week, and I'll say it again. I know that this is not a position of need, but, man, John White would look really, really good in this offense.
Yeah, and he's a better fit for a June Jones type offense, the run and shoot offense, than Jerome Messam would be, in my opinion. And if John White's healthy, man, he's one of the best in the league. You know, he is just a spectacular player. So I do like that pick.
All right, I think number one for us might be the exact same player. Who do you have?
I have Jamal Westerman. We talked about it last week on the one player you'd want to bring in, and he's the guy. He's just he's a stud. He's a superstar. He's a national. I really went heavy with the Canadian picks, and I'd love to see him come to the Tiger Cats.
I got Westerman at number one, too. Initially, I went with a bit of an off-the-board pick, and I took Eric Rogers, the former wide receiver for the Calgary Stampeders. He is a free agent, and I kept thinking back to when Chris Williams signed with the Red Blacks. No one really saw it coming. You know what I mean? Like, everyone kind of forgot that Chris Williams had been cut in the NFL, was a free agent in the CFL. They make the signing of Chris Williams. Everyone's like, holy smokes. Oh, yeah, Chris Williams. Kind of look at Eric Rogers the same way, where it's like kind of a little bit forgotten. Now, I'm not sure if he still wants to try to make the NFL or not, but I think he could be one of those guys who signs the CFL deal. Like, you're going to see him sign with, like, Edmonton or something, and it'd be like, oh, yeah, shoot, Eric Rogers is still out there. But then once Tasker signed, I kind of erased all the receivers off my list. I had Davaris Daniels on my honorable mentions. Now, he obviously went and re-signed with Calgary, so that took him off anyway. But I had some receivers on my list here in the honorable mentions and in my top five. And then once Tasker signed, I figured, you know what? They're not going to go after an American receiver. We mentioned it earlier with all the guys, all the American talent they have at receiver. They're not going after an American receiver. So I bumped Rogers off the list, and Jamal Westerman, who was at number two, slid down to number one, and for all the things you said, Canadian guy, ratio breaker, impact player. If they get a guy like this, can they really go wrong? Of course not.
No, that would be if you had Jamal. I mean, if you lose Big Teddy, that's a loss. But if you had Jamal Westman in there to this defensive line, we could be getting a lot of pressure on opposing QBs this year.
For sure, for sure. Okay, let's talk CFL-wide now. Let's move off from the Ticats, talk about CFL-wide. And we're going to do something I'm calling the free agent prediction game. And we are going to kind of just, with no real knowledge behind us, throw out where we think some of the big names that are going to be look to be headed to free agency, at least as of our recording this at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, could be headed. So let's start with Travis Bond, the offensive lineman from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, a stud guard, but American guards don't get paid a ton in free agency. So you don't see teams go after American guards. They like to kind of use the interior line as Canadian. So he's in a weird spot, but he is a great, great player. Where can you see Travis Bond ending up?
Well, you have to build a really productive offensive line around a player like Ricky Ray if you want to have success. So I'm going to say the Argonauts.
The Argonauts. I got them going to Montreal, and I think that's simply based on they are going to have to throw money at free agents. They need to get better in pretty much every conceivable way. And, you know, yeah, it's silly to pay a guard what you're going to be paying them, but this guy's a stud, and the Owls have money, and they need to get players. So I could see the Alouettes overpaying to get Travis Bond in Montreal. Next up is a guy we touched on, or at least I touched on a little earlier, and guys I want to see come to Hamilton. Tommy Campbell, the DB for the Stamps. Where do you think you see him ending up?
I think he eventually signs back with the Stampeders. He's with the Stampeders, right?
He is with the Stampeders.
Yeah, I was right. Okay, so yeah, I think he signs back with the Stampeders. You know, the Stamps usually do a pretty damn good job of re-signing the players that they want to re-sign. So, and I don't see why they wouldn't want him back. So I think he ends up back with the Stampeders.
Totally and 100% agree, sir. I think he's headed back to Calgary as well. All right, Larry Dean, linebacker, Ticats. Where do you see him ending up?
I'm going to say he goes back with the Ticats. He's had success there. The team's on the upswing, in my opinion, and I think you'll see that and re-up with the Tabbies.
I think so, too. I think Dean is back in black and gold, although it would not surprise me if he landed in Winnipeg. They need a middle linebacker, and they need one badly, and I could see them coughing up some money for him. But there's a few middle linebackers, and one we're going to talk about a little bit later, that maybe he could be headed to Edmonton instead. All right, next up is Nick Dembski, the Canadian from Winnipeg who plays for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, the receiver. I got him going back to the I got him going home to the Bombers. Where do you have him going?
Yeah, the same thing. No knowledge of any, you know, I just read somewhere that there was strong indications that he would be signing with the Bombers, and it makes sense. Hometown is Winnipeg or Manitoba, so it just makes a lot of sense for him to go back with the Bombers, and I think he'll really produce there. Because you saw some flashes in Saskatchewan. I think he had some injury troubles, but I think there's a lot of potential there to really be a star in this league.
Couldn't agree more. TJ Heath, DB from the Bombers. Where do you got him ending up?
Yeah, I'm just gonna say Hamilton because he was on my list as one of the guys I wanted them to bring in. So hopefully TJ Heath is with the Ticats next year, making plays in the secondary, picking off passes, you know, pick sixes, all that good stuff.
I had a hard time trying to figure out where he could land because I was looking at all the teams going, I don't think he's going to go back to Winnipeg. And then I'm looking around the league, where could he end up? And I, too, ended up with Heath signing with the Ticats. I think I don't think they're going to make a lot of splashes once the market opens. I think, much like last year, they really only signed Abdul Kane. They brought back Emmanuel Davis. They brought in some pieces, but their big splash was getting that stud DB. I think they do the same thing this year. Really add reinforcements to that secondary, and I think Heath is wearing black and gold sometime before the end of the week. Speaking of black and gold, next up, Teddy Laurent, defensive lineman for our Ticats. We both said that we don't think he's coming back to Hamilton. Mike, where do you think he's going?
You know, we talked about it earlier, the Montreal Alouettes throwing around money, and this would be a guy that you would throw a lot of money at. So I'm just going to go with the Alouettes.
Going with the Owls. I got him going to Ottawa, and as much as I hate the idea of Teddy turning his back on the black and gold to go to the black and red, I think he's heading to the Red Blacks. I just feel like they have a need there, and I think they're going to be willing to pay a lot of money to get a stud like Ted Laurent there. So I think Teddy is headed to our nation's capital. Next up, Mike, Marquay McDaniel, who was surprised, well, maybe somewhat surprising, released by the Calgary Stampeders. Where do you think he's going to end up?
Yeah, that's a tough one to say. You know, I've liked Marquay over the years. He has been a very solid player for the Stampeders. I liked him when he was with the Ticats. But I'm going to say the Rough Riders just because they are signing every American wide receiver under the sun. So, you know, and Calgary, their heated rival, you know, steal away Marquay McDaniel. He'd be highly motivated in Saskatchewan, I think. So I'll say the Rough Riders.
Not a bad choice. Again, this was a guy who, had Luke Tasker not signed, I could have seen the Ticats going out and replacing him with Marquay McDaniel. Very similar type players. I got him going to the Argos. They need some weapons out there. Yes, they have SJ Green. Yes, they have Armonte Edwards. They lost Devere Posey to the NFL. I think they could you imagine this guy catching passes from Ricky Ray? He'd be that perfect middle of the field guy that Ray just really needs in that offense. They're not going to have James Wilder, at least I don't think, doing that this year. Marquay McDaniel, I think, could be the guy that they go out and nab and bring him to Toronto.
Yeah, I could totally see that, actually. That would be a good connection. I feel like there would be a lot of, you know, they haven't played together before, but I feel like they'd have an instant connection being the savvy veterans that they are.
Next up, also from Calgary, their running back. We talked about him a little bit. I guess you don't have him coming to the Ticats. Jerome Messam, where do you got him landing?
That's also a tough one. Jerome Messam. I'm just trying to think of the running backs in the league right now, but hell, I'll go with the Rough Riders. But they steal another Calgary Stampeder.
I know he's been on a lot of teams. He was with Saskatchewan before he went to Calgary. I also got him landing in Toronto. I think they need a running back. They don't have James Wilder, and Messam is a local product. I think he could be a guy that they could market around. They need a running back. They don't have one. Like, they don't have a guy that you can rely on. And I think if they're going to defend that Grey Cup crown, I think they could be spenders in free agency. Jim Popp has not been afraid to throw some money around in free agency in previous years. And I could see him bringing Jerome Messam to Toronto.
That's a possibility. I mean, with James Wilder out, I think James Wilder is more talented of a back, but they're kind of similar that they're huge guys. And they can, you know, throw blocks for Ricky Ray. Just an overall threat of the run. Now, I don't think it'd be as great with Messam, but there would still be that threat.
All right, Jamal Westerman. We both had him at our number one pick to come to the Ticats. Not that we think he's coming to Ticats, but he's the guy we want the most. Where do you think Westerman's headed?
I think he eventually re-signs with the Bombers.
Really?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, they brought him in to the league. He's done so many great things for the team. I just, you know, if he gets away, he gets away. But I see them putting in a real, you know, throwing some money at him, trying to get him back.
Throwing some money at him. Talked about it earlier with Travis Bond. I think the Alouettes dip into Winnipeg again. And I think they steal Jamal Westerman. I think they give him a boatload of money. And he'll be one of the first guys that they, like, there's dominoes in free agency, right? There's guys. Ted Laurent's a domino. Jamal Westerman's a domino. Mostly Canadian players who play at positions normally inhabited by Americans. These dominoes fall before you kind of see everything else settle. I think Westerman's going to be a guy, going to have a lot of suitors, but I think the Owls are going to throw as much money at him as they could possibly do, and I think he's going to end up with the Alouettes. John White, the guy that I want to see in black and gold, is free come tomorrow. Mike, who do you got John White playing for next year?
You know, I think he convinced me. I think that Alex Green is expendable. You bring John White in, he's a hell of a player, and I think he'd fit in greatly with this Ticats offense.
Oh, see, as much as I want to see him here, I think he goes to Saskatchewan. I don't think they really have a solid running back there. White obviously knows Chris Jones and has a familiarity with him. I could see them dipping their toes into the waters and taking White away from Edmonton and bringing him to Ryderville. Yes, they have Trent Richardson. Yes, they have Cam Marshall. Like, they have guys, but they don't have the guy. John White, when healthy, can be the guy. I think.
You mean
the Riders,
Trent Richardson, the Trent Richardson that dominated the CFL last year?
Yes, that Trent Richardson.
Oh, okay, good. All right, I gotcha.
Yeah, I think John White is the guy there. Sticking with Whites, we got Mitchell White, DB the Argos, formerly of the Alouettes, formerly of the Red Blacks. stud player. Where do you think he's going?
I'm going to say they're going to bring him in to Edmonton, add to an already stout secondary, and he would be a great addition.
I think he's going back to one of his former teams, and I think he's going to go back to Ottawa. I think kind of a mercenary hire by the Argos last year after he was cut in the NFL, came in, played great. I think the Red Blacks want to get him back. I think he heads to Ottawa. Okay, Mike, last one. Our favorite greasy caveman, Sam Losko-looking bastard, Bear Woods, linebacker from the Argos. Where do you got Bear Woods going? And I will say this before you say anything. I do have it on fairly decent authority that he's probably not going back to Toronto, which is surprising for me. So if you had him going to Toronto, quick, fix it. See where do you think he's going now? You had him going back to the Argos, didn't you?
I did. I thought that was a perfect fit for him.
I thought so too, but Justin Dunk said earlier today on Three Down Nation live blog that he sees it not happening. Woods is going to hit the open market and go somewhere else. I was surprised.
Yeah, that is surprising. Let's see. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'll go. He's a middle linebacker, right?
Or is he indeed.
Son of a guns. Well, I'm going to hate myself for saying this, but let's go Ticats.
Whoa!
I do not like Bear Woods. It stems from a couple years ago when he played the Alouettes in the playoffs. And he had
I remember.
Interesting things to say. But we might be in the market for a middle linebacker, so I'm going to see Ticats.
I got him going to Winnipeg. I think, and here's the thing, with Dean and Woods, I think one could go to Hamilton and one could go to Winnipeg. I think Dean is going to re-sign here. That opens the door for the Bombers to go get Bear Woods. I think Bombers fans would be – Bear Woods is a great player. Like, we don't like him because he's kind of a – goof's not the right word, but he did say some really stupid things after that playoff loss, like they were the better team and all this junk. He is a great player, though, and that's undeniable. He does look like a dirty caveman. I wouldn't be upset if he played for the Tabbies because he is a good player. I'm just not a huge fan. Like, we're kind of in the same boat on this one. I think the Bombers get him. I think that's their middle linebacker. I think they go after him. They bring him in, and they make that defense very fearsome.
That would be a great addition for that team, that's for sure. I mean, say what you want about his personality. You know, caveman stuff, he's a hell of a linebacker. You know?
Yeah. Hey, cavemen make good linebackers. They just run exactly. And hit things. They don't think.
Yeah, they're Neanderthals. So. Oh, she fell. Right.
Okay, let's move on to everyone's favorite game. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all. Rapid fire talking about a lot of the news that happened in the CFL in the past week. First up, we have the CFLPA is going to investigate whether certain players got side deals from teams in order to let them out of their CFL contract to explore NFL opportunities. They don't mention any names in this public statement, but I think we're pretty smart if we, you know, Victor Butler, James Wilder Jr. I think we know that's who they're talking about. So what do you think, Mike? Big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I'm going to say little deal. You know, the CFL came out and they said that this is not acceptable anymore. There will be no more side deals. But, I mean, what can you do after the fact? So for that reason, I'm going to say little deal.
I think it's a little deal too, but I think it's something that could be a big deal because I think we're going to see the PA kind of actually show some teeth, and I could see a work stoppage happening. I don't want it to happen. I could see it. And I think little things like this are going to be sticking points in the CBA. And I think if they actually go ahead and investigate these things and find out that yes, these players were offered something, and they back these young American guys, I think it shows the PA is going to be a little harder in negotiations. I think just them investigating, I don't know if anything will come of it. Like you said, what can you do after the fact? But I think this is something that could be sort of the first stone thrown in sort of the labor negotiations that are going to take place over the next year.
Yeah, I'm afraid that you're right, that there might be a work stoppage. There might be a strike or a lockout because – yeah, it's just starting to get ugly already, and we're a year away from the CBA ending, or 2 years away, at the end of the 2019 season. So, yeah, it's not looking good right now.
All right, next up, Argos, they re-signed SJ Green, bringing back their beast receiver from a year ago. What do you think, Mike? Big deal? Little deal? No deal at all?
That's a big deal. SJ Green came back from a major knee injury last year and had his best season of his career, numbers-wise, I believe. So to have him back with Ricky Ray, there's a serious connection there. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. Huge. The hugest deal of all the deals. It's huge. No, this is a big deal. Come on. SJ Green, future Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned, an absolute beast. The season he had after coming back from a torn ACL. Come on, man. That guy.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Just you know, he plays for the Argos, and you know, the obligatory, we hate the Argos, but you can't hate SJ Green. Him going back there makes perfect sense. Great weapon for Ray. Great weapon for the Argos. An absolute must-do. Just all-around kudos to the Argos for bringing him back. Bombers re-signed Mo Leggett, Mike. Big deal, little deal? No deal at all.
I think it's a big deal. Mo Leggett's been one of their best defensive players over the years. So, you know, I'm going to say big deal. He adds a lot to the defensive squad of the Bombers.
I think it's a little deal that could be a big deal. And I know I said that earlier, and I'm kind of re-upping on that, but it's only a little deal because he did rupture his Achilles, so he's probably not going to be ready to start the season. If he is, kudos to him, but he's a stud. He is a great player. He was maybe on his way to being defensive player of the year after the season he was having for the Bombers until he got hurt. Once he's healthy, this turns into a big deal, but only because of the injury. You never know how guys come back from injuries. I'll temper my excitement and say little deal right now, but definitely something that could be a big deal in the future. The Ottawa Redblacks bring back Deontay Spencer, Mike. Big deal, little deal? No deal at all.
That's a big deal. Deontay Spencer didn't show a ton earlier on in the season, but by the end of the season, he was one of the best Redblacks, you know, best players on that team. He's got a ton of speed. He's a very dynamic player. You can put him back in returns, receiver. It's a big deal for the Ottawa Redblacks.
I think this is a little deal. I said on Twitter earlier today that I feel like I'm the only person who's not just going gaga over Deontay Spencer. I think he's a good player, but I look at his numbers and I see a guy who, you see return. He's a great return guy. Obviously, he electrified Ottawa's return game. But I want to see more of him on offense before I really start getting behind him. He only had like 920-something yards last year. He played all 18 games, and he's in a receiving corps that needed weapons. They lost Ernest Jackson. They lost Chris. He was essentially supposed to replace Chris Williams, and he did a decent job, but I want to see more of him. This could be something that turns into a big deal, but right now I just look at it and I go, he's a good player, but he's a good returner, and I don't know if you can rely on that long term. Look at the guys like Chad Owens. Look at Brandon Banks. There's a laundry list of guys who were great return men that then had to turn into great receivers. Chris Williams, another example. I hope Deontay Spencer can do that because I do like watching him play. I got to see a little bit more before I make this a big deal. So for me, it is a little deal. Edmonton re-signed J.C. Sherritt, Mike. Big deal, little deal? No deal at all.
I'm going to say little deal. JC, one of the best linebackers over the past 5 to 10 years, but you know he's had some serious injury troubles, and I'm not sure if he's going to be the same guy coming back. So I'm going to say little deal right now.
I say the same thing, and for the same reasons. It's just if he wasn't hurt, this would be a big deal. If he hadn't been hurt, but he's getting up there in age. I know he's still relatively young, but he has dealt with injury troubles. He's coming back off a season-ending injury, so to me, it's a little deal. But you know, it's a great signing for Edmonton, and I think he's a great player, and I think it's good for them. I think their fans are happy, especially when you lose Odell Willis, you lose Darius Bowman. This is a good sort of re-signing for the team. I think he's going to be a good player again, but the injuries make it. Again, temper my expectations. Kind of like with Mo Leggett, temper it a little bit just because let's see what he is when he comes back. Speaking of Darius Bowman, he was not out of work very long. He was signed by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So what is this to you, Mike? Big deal, little deal? No deal at all.
It's not no deal. It's not big deal. It's right in the middle. It's a little deal. He's, you know, Bowman's 32 years old. I still think I still think he has some left in the tank. It's not that old to be a receiver, but I do believe that the best days of a Darius Bowman are behind him.
Response would have been pretty much word for word what you just said. So let's move on to the next one. I also added a little deal. So let's move on to the BC Lions re-signing quarterback Travis Lule. Mike, big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I think it's a big deal. I think I don't have complete trust in Jonathan Jennings yet. There's a lot of potential there. We've seen spurts of brilliance, you know, spurts of a guy that can be a top quarterback in this league. You know, he has the talent, but he just doesn't, he doesn't have the accuracy right now. And I'm not sure that's something you could fix. So it's a big deal, because if Jonathan Jennings doesn't perform, Travis Lule can come in and run this offense. I mean, last year when he came in, he ran the offense better than Jennings did. And I'm pretty sure if he didn't get injured, he would have finished out that last season, and the BC Lions would have made the playoffs. So for that reason, I think it's a big deal.
Okay. I had a little deal, and again, only because of the injury. He tore his ACL. Don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the season, but you kind of convinced me that it's a big deal. Honestly, I think I'm switching my answer. I think I'm going to go with big deal for all those reasons you said. He looked like the guy that was MOP and Grey Cup MVP, what, 6-7 years ago? Like, he looked like he turned – he was excellent. I was in the stands when he came off the bench and shredded the Ticats for, like, 5,000 yards in one game. Like, he did look great last year. If he can come back to full health, if he was coming – I think you're right. I think he would have been the starter the rest of last season. I think he'd be coming into this season as the starter. So, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna change my mind. I'm going to say big deal, Travis Lule back to the BC Lions.
Yeah, he's just – I think he was – that's the best I've seen him play, even better than his Grey Cup year last year when he came in for a couple games. I think that was the best he's played in his CFL career. So it's really unfortunate that he got injured, and, you know, you don't know what he's going to be like, but big deal, I think.
All right, another news that broke Monday – the Calgary Stampeders re-signed receiver Deveris Daniels. Mike, big deal, little deal, no deal at all?
I think it's a big deal. I think whenever the Stampeders bring back one of their talented guys, it's a big deal. And he had, you know, he's been an up-and-comer for a couple seasons. I think this is the year that he really takes over, really becomes a breakout star for the Stampeders.
Yeah, I got it as a big deal as well. They let go of Markway McDaniel, Calgary did, and they bring back Daniels. I thought he was a guy that if he hit free agency was going to get a very big payday. He has dealt with injuries, and he came – the year he was rookie of the year, he came in late in the season, didn't really get a chance to start right away. You see the potential there. This guy is just oozing talent. I think this is a very, very big re-signing for the Stampeders, and I think he could be the guy that Bo Levi Mitchell really, really, really relies on come next season with McDaniel gone. So I think this is a huge deal for the Stamps. Last one, Mike. Corey Chamblin might not be returning to the Argos as defensive coordinator. He could still. He might not. We don't know yet. But Chamblin not returning to the Argos. Big deal, little deal, no deal at all.
I'm going to say a big deal. I think that Corey came in and really helped out that defense. I mean, the Toronto Argonauts defense were really good last year. So to lose your coordinator maybe is a big deal, I think.
I think it's a big deal too, but I think it's a big deal for two reasons. What you just said, he came in there, turned that defense around, turned him into a Grey Cup championship defense. Wasn't a lot of – like they brought in Bear Woods, they brought in Mitchell White, but it was a lot of players from years past that they stuck with, and he turned them around. He really did. And I'm not the hugest Corey Chamblin fan, but – got to give him kudos for the job he did. But I also think it's a big deal because he signed a two-year contract to be the defensive coordinator for the Toronto Argonauts. And after 1 year, he might just simply not return. Not get a job elsewhere, maybe get a job elsewhere, but just he's not coming back. He's not honoring the second year of his deal. And if that happens, this is going to be something that the players will point at when it comes to you have to honor the contract you signed. Why are coaches allowed to get out of their deals to go coach somewhere else, or simply, I don't want to come back, so I'm not coming back? When players are told, like James Wilder, I'm not coming back for the money I'm making, or I'm not coming back because I don't want, like, you signed a contract, get your butt back. You look at this, this is going to be something that could be a tipping point. In a year with all, like, we've had this offseason where honoring the contract has kind of become, like, the motto of the CFL. For this to happen at this time, I think could be a real sort of moment in time where you're going to see the players in the union go, this is what you say players can't leave, why are coaches allowed to, and it could be a real turning point. So that's why I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, and there's no salary cap on coaches. You can hire as many as you want. You can spend as much as you want on however much the owner will let you spend on coaches. So, yeah, I could see this being a point from the CFLPA to say, hey, why are they exempt from this rule? We're the players. We're the people on the field risking injury and in some cases, you know, your life, really. I mean, something could happen crazy and people can die later on after football from football injuries. So, yeah, it could be a big point for the CFLPA.
All right, moving on to our new segment, Ticats Question of the Week. Last week, we asked everyone which one Ticats free agent you wanted to keep and which one free agent from another team you wanted to see the team bring in. We got a ton of responses when we asked that question. We asked you to give us some responses. We read them on the show. Here are some of the ones we got. Bill in the Three Down Nation comment section said, how am I supposed to choose just one free agent to re-sign? Luke Tasker and Ted Laron are both must-haves with Larry Dean a close second. I'd like to see Ronnie Yell in black and gold. He would make a suitable replacement for Emmanuel Davis. Well, I guess, Bill, you got your wish. Tasker's resigned. So I guess your one guy that you have to bring back is Ted Laron then. Ari said, you mentioned some doubt about Fantuz being around. This is why the Ticats have to go hard after Nick Dembski. Claudio on Twitter said, I'd like to see Michael Atkinson re-signed, and my free agent target would be Bear Woods. Aaron simply said, Luke Tasker, Daryl Waad. One of the many Adams that listens to our show said, Larry Dean, TJ Heath, happy just getting Tasker Dean back. Mike, who is not you unless you're doing another Mike account, said, I'm still haunted by last year's secondary. Keep Dean, sign TJ Heath. Can't think of any other areas of need. Callie said, Dean and Prime, in parentheses, yeah, I'm cheating. For the re-sign, I'd like to see Taylor Reed back. Nick simply says, Laurent. Eddie gave us Dean and TJ Heath. Sandra said, Larry, as in Larry Dean, and Tasker re-signed. That would make me happy. David said, love to see them re-sign Larry Dean. Would love to see them sign DeVaris Daniels or Bear Woods. Another Adam said Ted Laurent and Tommy Campbell. Andrew said Tasker. Tina said, I'd bring back Dean. He was a constant on D. Don't see anyone on the roster who can take over and not thrilled with available free agent linebackers. Other team, toss up between Zach Evans and Jamal Westerman. Feel like we're losing Ted and need a national defensive lineman. So those were all the responses we got. Thank you, everyone, for the replies. Any of those answers surprise you? Obviously, some of them, DeVaris Daniels has re-signed. A lot of people said Tasker, which didn't shock me at all. You're kind of seeing, of all the guys to bring back, it seems to be, it was the same three almost. Luke Tasker, mm-hmm. Larry Dean, and Ted Laurent. So were there any shocking guys to bring in or guys to resign that you saw on this list? Because there wasn't really any for me. Maybe Bear Woods. A couple people mentioned Bear Woods, and that's surprising. I thought everyone was like us and thought he was a greasy, dirty caveman.
All right, right. Hell of a player, though. But I'm going to say Taylor Reed. It's an interesting name to throw out there, especially with the past. You know, we don't have to go into the details, but yeah, I was surprised to see his name out there. Not that he's, you know, he's a fine player, a fine linebacker, but a little surprised to see a Ticat fan throw out his name.
All right, so now on to this week's question, which still deals with free agency, but it's in a more historical context, and it's simple. Who is your all-time favorite Ticats free agent signing? Lots of names out there that the Ticats have brought in through free agency. So, Mike, who is your all-time favorite the Ticats have brought in from another team during free agent frenzy?
I got four names, two from a more recent time and two from the late 90s. I got Zach Kleros. I thought he was a great addition. You know, he had some great years in Hamilton. Too bad it didn't work out. And Andy Fantuz from the same era. Andy Fantuz, when he came in, I was over the moon excited about it. You know, he was probably in his prime of his career when he came in. So I was just unbelievably excited when he signed. And then I got Danny McManus and Darren Flutie from
that did not surprise me at all.
Yeah, back in the day, I mean, those guys were brought in along with Lancaster, and they pretty much turned around this whole franchise to a championship caliber team.
Yeah, I can still remember, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but I can still remember the press conference where they announced Lancaster as coach, and on the same day they brought in McManus and Flutie and said, we're all here. And I'm not sure if I'm misremembering it or if it's one of those things where I've made the memory in my own head, but that's why Danny McManus, I picked two guys. I didn't go with Fantuz, which now that I think about it, I was really excited when Fantuz signed here. I was really happy with the, I remember Bob Young tweeted out Ty Cat fans are going to be happy today. I went and got a shower, and I came back, and the first thing on my Twitter feed was the Ty Cats have signed Andy Fantuz. I think they used the P. Diddy song, Coming Home.
Yeah,
it's like, oh my God. And ever since then, I've really liked that song. I'm not a really big P. Diddy fan, but that song always makes you think of Andy Fantuz. So, he's on this list. So I guess I got three. Danny Mac, Darren Flutie's kind of the same because they came in at the same time. But McManus, bringing him in, transformed the franchise. He's the last quarterback to get the Ticats to a Grey Cup championship victory. So, obviously, he's there. The other one, Avon Coburn. I was really, really happy when the team signed him just because of the attitude he brought. I just remember in Montreal, I don't care what my numbers are, I'm here to win championships. And he brought that attitude to Hamilton. And he had a fairly decent year with the Ticats. He was here 1 year, then he was cut, then he was brought back. And he was on that team that went into Montreal and played that great playoff game and won. And it was like, man, is Avon Coburn that missing piece, the guy in the locker room that they needed to sort of turn this team around? I remember being really, really excited when Avon Coburn signed. And I actually ended up winning a jersey of his in a contest with the Ticats. My brother still wears it to games. So Avon Coburn's the Avon Coburn Hamilton fan club kind of resides in my house, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, he was – I distinctly remember that Montreal Ticats playoff game, and he performed – very well. I'm seeing it in my mind right now. His long touchdown run
where he dove in the end zone. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was one of the more memorable games that I've ever seen the Ticats play. I mean, it was just so entertaining. It was such a great game, especially at the end when the Ticats won.
Yes, it was. All right, that's the show for this week, everyone. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts as well as on Google Play and Stitcher. Or, of course, you can go to 3Down Nation and listen to it over there or download it there if you'd like. And hit us up on social media as always. Hit those follow buttons on Twitter and Instagram for their Podski WeeWee account. And, of course, we have our own personal accounts where you can hit us up with any questions or comments you'd like to send us. Mike, your Twitter handle, please.
It would be Mike_Ticats.
And I am JoshSmith_82. And, of course, throw those comments and questions our way in the 3Down Nation comment section. And do not forget that you can pick yourself up some Podski WeeWee merch over at our store. And we have two new designs dropping tonight. And they are all about Mike. It is the I'm a Mike Ticats guy and I'm a Mike Ticats gal shirts. Get them while they're hot. I want to see people rocking your name at Tim Hortons Field and around the league this year. I want to see people show
around the world.
Around the world. Worldwide. You're a worldwide phenomenon. So you can pick those up. Show Mike his love, man, and pick up his official – Mike, you have an official
T-shirt. Where's your shirt?
T-shirt.
Where's your Josh?
You know
Where's
what?
Your Josh Mish guy?
No one likes me enough to want to – I don't like me enough to want to wear my name. You're the star of the show, dude. You are the star. So we got to we go with the star first, and that's you. You are universally beloved. I am universally loathed. Maybe if I put on it like, I hate Josh Smith, people would buy that shirt. But anyway, you can pick up Mike's official T-shirt over at shop.spreadshirt.ca/podskiwi. Mike, great show. Are you ready for free agency?
I am. I'm ready to go. Ready to see these names signed with the new teams, and it's going to be exciting. It's the next couple days are going to be news filled.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and you and I will be back here next week to cover all the things the Ticats did and some of the big signings league wide, and whatever other news kind of passes by. We're going to get in. We're going to get into the nitty gritty talk where the free agents went. It's going to be a lot of fun next week. Fun to preview it, but it's really fun to talk about where guys went and how it kind of changes the landscape of the CFL as we're barreling towards training camps and OTAs and the draft and then the start of the season.
It's an exciting time, my friend.
All right. So that was episode 101, 101st episode of Podski WeeWee. I'm Josh Smith.
And I'm Mike Graham. Eat 'em raw.
Eat 'em raw.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.